The Bible is truly a precious and holy book. In fact, there is no book like it. It is unique in every sense of the word. When Sir Walter Scott lay dying, he called to his son-in-law, "Bring me the book." And confused by such a request, as he looked at the immense library, the son-in-law inquired, "Which book?" To this, Sir Walter Scott, the eminent writer of many books, fervently replied, "There is but one book, the Bible." How true this is. Millions of people have and still do testify likewise. And history itself bears witness to the same truth in spite of the attacks made against it. The Bible still stands like a rock undaunted amid the raging storms of time. There is no book like the Bible. The Bible is unique. It's unique, first of all, because of what it is. It's one book, one revelation from God, made up of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New. Over 40 writers wrote the scriptures. They came from various stations in life and were engaged in varying occupations. It was written over a period of 1,500 years. It is the Word of God. In the Old Testament in Daniel, we read that it is called the Scripture of Truth. It's a revelation of God's truth. It's God's revelation. It's a revelation of His mind. In fact, it is His very speech. He spoke through human instrumentality. Now let us be very clear that the Bible not only contains the Word of God, it is the Word of God. Every word has come from Him, intending to convey His mind to you and to me. This is true from Genesis to Revelation. There's not a word in the original manuscript but what was given by Him. So we have in the Scriptures God's mind revealed in His Word. Now the Bible is unique also because of its origin. In 2 Peter 1:21 we read, "For the prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Or we could read it thus, "Every Scripture is God-breathed." That's what inspiration means. God has breathed His mind. He has, as it were, told the writers what to say, how to say it. Of course, the styles of the writers vary, and God has taken this into consideration. The various men that He has chosen to convey His mind had various qualities and characteristics which He knew. And so, when we read Moses, why, we notice his style is different than Paul's. Now, God breathed every bit of the divine revelation through the various writers. This is what inspiration means. Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord," throughout all his writings. Or, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying." It's true also in the Psalms. Also the prophets. And then when we come to the New Testament, "By the word of the Lord," says Paul, as he writes to the various assemblies or individuals. So in every case, the very words of God, inspired by Him, are written through human instruments. Now, also the Bible is unique because of the means of understanding it, and these means are beyond the natural intelligence of man. Now, this is very important. And the truth that we have here is given to us in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 2. And I'd like to read these verses. Beginning at verse 11, Paul says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." What a revelation this is in regards to the understanding of God's inspired book. The Bible is unique because it's different from the writings of men in this respect. You know, men who write that their readers might be able to grasp the meaning. Do you realize that God's record in the Bible cannot be comprehended as to its meaning apart from divine power? Human intellect is absolutely insufficient to comprehend the mind of God. In that verse 14, we read, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." In fact, we hear people sometimes say, "Well, I read the Bible and I don't understand it." There's a reason for that. No, I'm not saying that as a believer that we understand all things. But I'm going to notice the difference. The believer has the capacity through having the Spirit of God to understand, and I'll speak of that shortly. But here, an unbeliever, a natural man who has not been born of God, cannot understand the Bible. It is beyond the understanding of human intellect. It is beyond human reasoning of the natural man. In fact, it says, "Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Well, we say, who can understand? Well, the one who has been born of the Spirit, who has the Spirit of God indwelling him, is what the apostle calls a spiritual man here, and he is the one who discerns all things of divine revelation. In other words, he has the capacity to do so. In verse 12, we have read, "We have received." Now, Paul speaks here of those who are included in that company of redeemed ones. "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God." So, dear hearer, I just wonder if you would not ask yourself at this time, am I a spiritual man, or am I simply a natural man? Well, how do we understand? How can the spiritual man understand? Let Paul speak in Hebrews 11 when he says, "Through faith we understand." You know, the Bible itself, when received by faith, is that which gives us the mind of God revealed to our understanding. Isn't that wonderful? What we cannot do through our own intellect, our own faculties, God does by His Spirit on the principle of faith. Anyone who comes to God and believes that He is, accepts Him as the revealer of all things through the Word, and accepts His Word as truth, such as it is. Jesus says, "Thy Word is truth." He is the one who has faith imparted to him, and he can understand. And what a wonderful understanding it is. But now, I would like, if you would turn with me to the book of Hebrews for a passage. In chapter 4, we have a marvelous revelation here through the Apostle Paul writing to the Hebrews in regards to what the Bible has to say about itself. Verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now the Bible is unique in that the written word is inseparable from its author. You would have noticed here, I'm sure, how that in the verse 12 it speaks of the word of God, and that which we have written, that which you have in your hands, God's revelation of truth in words. In verse 13, the Spirit of God through Paul says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." I suppose if we had been writing this to keep the continuity, we would have said, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in its sight," referring to the Word of God. But you know, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And God would reveal to us this, that the written word is inseparable from the living word. Isn't it very striking that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, should himself be called the Word of God? In Revelation 19:13, we read his name shall be called the Word of God. In John 1, the scripture that presents him as the Son of God, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And then in verse 14 we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Yes, dear hearer, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's revelation of truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The Word is that by which we convey our thoughts. The written Word is that which brings to us God's thoughts, God's mind, God's counsels, God's purposes. And so it is true with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the world as the living expression of all that God is. And he carried out to the completion of the glory of God all the counsels and plans and purposes of God in regards to the redemption of man. He was here as that Holy One who knew no sin, manifesting that he came from God, he was sent from God, He is God the Son. In him we see God's holiness. On the other hand, we see God's grace. The Lord Jesus perfectly manifested what God is like. He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And how true it is. God has been revealed in the person of his beloved Son, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice, if you will, in the 13th verse it tells us that in connection with this person of the Son of God, that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And beloved friend, you and I have to do with him, just as we have to do with his word. We cannot be neutral in regards to what we think and what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has to do with us, and we have to do with him. Notice also that no one escapes his eye. There is no creature that's not manifest in his sight. You cannot hide from God. You cannot cover up what you do. That is from him. He sees all. He knows all. And you know, and this is what perhaps what makes both the Lord Jesus Christ and the written word hated by those that do not love him. The Bible is perhaps the most hated book. But you know, the Lord Jesus, when he was here, was hated too without a cause. You know why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he revealed men's wicked hearts to themselves, and they didn't like it. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And you know, the Bible is a mirror too. Yes, it shows us what we are. But thanks be to God, it not only shows us what we are, and it doesn't stop there. It shows us what God is. And it shows us that although the Word of God is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, that word discerner is an interesting word. It could be translated critic. You know, men today pride themselves in sitting as critics upon the Word of God. We speak of higher criticism and the higher critics, but beloved friend, let me tell you that this Bible, the Word of God, is the highest critic. And this Word is what sits in judgment upon us. How foolish of men to sit in judgment upon the Word of God and say, this shouldn't be there and that shouldn't be there and this isn't true. They cut this out and that out. This Word is going to stand when heaven and earth shall have passed away. The Bible stands. The Word abides forever. Let men scoff, let men criticize, yet this Word is going to criticize them. Yes, by this Word men will be judged in the last day. But I want to draw your attention now just for a moment or two to the fact that this Word is unique in that it is living. It's the living Word. It's not a dead book. In contrast to the writings of men, which need to be changed with the changing times, it is not true that the Bible has to be updated. The writer of this book knows everything from the beginning of time to the end. This book is living today just as it was when it was written, just as true today, and it will abide true for eternity. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, says Jesus. Peter says, the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this book abides. Nothing can change it, absolutely nothing. And thank God that it is unique also in the fact that it is powerful or effective. How many there are that have experienced the blessing in their own hearts and lives in regards to the change that has come into their heart and life through trusting Christ and receiving this written word. I would draw your attention to John 5:24, where we read, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died at Calvary and gave his life, shed his blood to pay the penalty of your sins. And now he says that the one who believes on him has everlasting life. He speaks through his word, and he says, if the man, any man, hears the voice of the Son of God, he shall live. Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? Has he spoken to you? He desires to do so. And he is the one who would impart to you the life everlasting. You can know this very moment that you have passed from death unto life on the authority of this word if you accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Will you do this? Hear this moment, and your soul shall live, and you will find that the word of God is powerful. It's effective in your life. God grant that you shall know him this day, and that these few moments with the book will mean blessing to you for eternity. Turn to the Bible yourself, read it, and you shall be blessed for time and eternity. Shall we pray? O God, bless thy word. We thank thee for it. To thee be all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.